This is an interview for Peep Magazine. We're joined with a person called John Doe. He's come down to the studio today. We're in the centre of Newcastle, Pilgrim Street, and we're here to chat about ghosts and phantoms of the night, which kind of interest everybody. So let's get into it.
Why not do it?
Go ahead.
John, thanks for coming down.
Pleasure to be here.
We're going to start off by, you arrived in Thailand around 2000, Bangkok in Thailand, to be specific. Could you elaborate on why you were there? Yeah, it's kind of what you were doing there.
Sure. The sole purpose was to go travelling for 6 months. And a lot of people travel to Southeast Asia, and Bangkok's the first destination point. And there, from there on, you can go to other countries surrounding Thailand, like Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Philippines. But I arrived on the, I believe it was the 25th or 26th of November, 2000. And I immediately went to, which is really, really famous for backpackers, a place called Khao San Road. It's in the heart of Bangkok, and everybody who's a traveler or a backpacker goes there. It's like, it's a bustling street full of like markets and people selling snide t-shirts and snide everything, snide DVDs back then, snide music. You can buy art from a lot of the artists who are at the art school, which isn't far away, and yeah, it was it's even featured in The Beach, the movie.
Oh wow. So this was Khao San Road.
Yep.
Were you staying in Khao San Road? Were you staying in a B&B or some kind of hostel or hotel? And so whereabouts were you staying?
Right, so I was staying off of Khao San Road. It was dearer to stay on Khao San Road, and it was also very noisy because it was like people going up and down all day, all night. You know, at night time it came alive a lot.
Bikes up and down?
No, mainly just foot traffic, just people buying, because during the day it was quieter, but then in the evening by about 7 o'clock they close up both ends, and then they'd open up all the stalls, and they'd have people would come and lay their art down in the middle of the street to sell. There was people performing, doing juggling with fire and stuff. The market traders selling food, all kinds of like noodles and like barbecued pork and barbecued chicken stuff. So I didn't stay on the main strip. I stayed off of that around the back, and it was a really dingy backstreet guest house, really skanky. Was cheap as chips back then. It was I think it was 100 baht a night, and 100 baht, let me think, it was about 60 baht to the pound at the time.
Right.
So it was like £1.50 to stay in this hovel. It was super cheap. Yeah, really, really, it was a shithole, to put it another word.
Yeah.
But it had character.
Yeah.
And then you meet all these really interesting people coming in and out. Uh-huh. Who are traveling, or that either live in there, you know, like Thais, who were living in the same building. There was Africans in the same building. There was, yeah, it was really sort of scummy, yeah, but cool.
Yeah, it kind of reminds us of a scene from The Highlander, when he the guy who's chasing him, he checks into this like a seedy hotel. Have you not seen it? Does that not ring a bell?
I don't remember the scene, but I remember the film.
And then he checks in. There's a little old guy sitting in the corner, and there's a check-in guy.
Right.
And this guy, the Highlander, he looks about 7 feet.
Yeah, he's the evil one, isn't he?
The evil one, I can't think of his name.
Isn't it something like, not Kraken, but Kragan or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But he walks in and the guy makes like a wisecrack at him and he just stops. stops dead and he just goes up to him and he says, never speak to me.
I think the actor is Clancy Brown.
Right, got you.
Who was in The Shawshank Redemption as the really nasty guard. But do you remember him in that?
Yeah, that does.
Yeah, and Tim Robbins did all the books for him. They were on the top of a top of the prison, tarring the prison roof, and he said he'd do Clancy Brown's books for him.
Got you.
And then the story all followed on from there, and then he started doing the books for the whole prison. And I'm sure it's Clancy Brown who plays the Highlander evil dude.
Oh, right. So it's kind of you're painting a scene for that's the imagery I've got in my head. So I might flash up a screenshot of what's in your head at the moment. It might not be like that, but it sounds like that kind of seedy.
Yeah, it was really seedy.
You get like waves and strays coming in and out.
Yeah, absolutely. And all times of night and day, you know. It was like a 24-hour. It's a 24-hour area.
Yeah.
For backpackers, you know, and the poorest of the poor who are trying to make their money last as long as they possibly can for 6 to 12 months.
Cool, man. Can you remember what the place was called at all?
Can't remember what the place is called. It wasn't like a lot of the places on the strip, the main strip, Cowsand Road itself, which had all had names and stuff. This was because it was like dingy, it didn't really have a name. It didn't even have a foyer.
Yeah.
It was just you walked in and then you walked up some stairs. Yeah. And then there was rooms branching off on each different level of stairs.
Cool. You've kind of painted a scene there, so we've kind of got that in my head. So you were checking in, you were taking in the sights, and then at what point did you think, wait a minute, this seems a bit creepy in this room, or
right.
is that something that sprung to mind?
Not really, but the thing about the whole thing experience was, I'd been there a couple of weeks already by this point, and the King's birthday was on the 5th of December, and it was the very next day, the 6th of December, and I woke up in this room, and it was, a small box room. Basically, it got really creepy by this point, because I'd stayed in the building a while already, and you know, I mean, you just sleep there and you'd go and you leave all your valuables in like a lockup safe. Mm-hmm. You'll only have a few clothes with you in your backpack, and it's not, you know, it wasn't really somewhere where you'd actually hang out. And it was just somewhere to doss, basically.
Yeah, somewhere to get your head down.
Exactly. It was the absolute no frills bot. It was like just a bed, a fan, and a chair.
No window.
There was one window, which was above the fan. So it was about 2 o'clock, if you imagine the 12 o'clock scenario of the room, and it was a slim, thin window that was high up on the wall, so it wasn't a lot of light coming in, but there was enough, you know, I could still see really clearly.
So were you on the, what floor were you on? Were you on the ground floor, or are you on?
No, I was on about the third or fourth floor.
Got you.
And the hallways were really, really narrow, and the stairs were really, really narrow as well. And it was almost like there wasn't any landing. You'd get on a certain small landing, and then there'd be a bedroom, and another bedroom, and then there'd be more stairs, then another bedroom. It was all really quite claustrophobic, almost.
Mm. So do you think that it was claustrophobic in the room because the room wasn't right, or was the room not right, or was it just generally, could have been anywhere and that room would have been claustrophobic anywhere? Or do you think because it was there, that certain time space Do you think that's why it was claustrophobic?
No, I don't think so. It was just, it had a claustrophobic feel to it, the whole building.
Yeah, the whole building.
Yeah. It was just really cramped. Mm-hmm. And it was all about bums on beds, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Getting as much money for as little space as possible. I mean, £1.50, you can't really be waving a shitty stick at it because it was like so cheap. No. You know, I mean, I don't think you can even get that now at all in Southeast Asia. Rooms are sort of like 500 baht up, you know, up to thousands. And 500 baht is like about a tenner now or slightly over. Yeah, but maybe it's like 13, 14 quid. Not £1.50.
Yeah, man. Regular. So, at what point did you feel, yeah, something's going on here? And could you talk to us about what was your first experience in that room?
Or, yeah, sure.
What happened? What was the feeling like? What did you see? Do you think you were imagining this, or? Explain what happened.
Okay, so I woke up about 1 o'clock, and I know it was 1 o'clock because as soon as I woke up, I checked my watch and I saw that it was 1 o'clock, right? And I checked my pockets to make sure I hadn't been robbed because I'd been out the night before, but we didn't really party big time because it was the king's birthday, you see. It was like, you know, we'd gone along to one of the great big parks. So I woke up at 1 and I sat upright in my bed, and it was the room was quite dark, but what I noticed at first was my door was open. It was ajar, maybe about 5 or 6 inches, and I was like, whoa, that's why I checked my pockets.
Someone had been in
and robbed me, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I saw figures, and there was 3 of them, and they were all to the right of the door. So one was like right next to the door, and there was like a raised plinth. It was weird in the room, so they were slightly raised up. Uh-huh. And the first character that was next to the door was about, I'd say, about 6 foot, 6'1" maybe.
Right.
And this woman, for want of a better word, was actually a ladyboy. And she was wearing a white blouse and a long black skirt. And she had black heels on, and she had like a really bangs haircut, like a bob haircut, quite short, just to a jawline, and a fringe cut straight across on her forehead. And I looked her dead in the eyes, and I was like, what? Get out of my room! I don't want you in my room! I don't like ladyboys! Get out! Get out! But not only was there her, right next to her was another ladyboy who was in a black blouse and a long, long black dress. Yeah? The other woman had a short, much shorter, like to the knees dress. This woman had, or ladyboy, had a long, long dress, a black blouse. And she had long hair, which was cascading down over her shoulders, except at the back, she still had a ponytail. So can you imagine that, yeah? Ponytail with long hair down over her shoulders as well.
Got you. A bit, it kind of reminds us of the old films, The Ring.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
She was walking around like...
Yeah.
Got you.
Just like that. Long hair, ponytail as well. And then next to her, where the fan was, behind the fan was a female, and she had a really nice, like, little black number dress on, you know, a bit sexy, straps, thin straps, short sort of skirt, like a bit like a really nice teddy. Yeah. And she had long hair as well, and she's really, really pretty. And I'm like, I'm thinking these are people.
Yeah.
Real genuine people. And I actually got out of bed and I walked towards them. I put my hand, my left hand on the door handle of the door and opened the door more, right? So that it was like from 5 inches to almost like, you know, 30 inches open. And I said, get out my room, get out my room. Then whilst still holding the door handle, I moved towards them. So the door was closing slightly and I was moving towards the girl, the ladyboy with the white blouse on and the bangs haircut. Mm-hmm. And I was like, get out my room. And they just stood and stared at me. They said nothing, absolutely nothing. And there was like a, it was weird because they didn't have blood in their skin. So they didn't have a glow or a flesh tone to them. It was really like opaque but grey at the same time.
Could this have been I want you to try and imagine the colour, because I feel I've seen something in a lift in the other building in a Bamborough house.
Okay.
I think I've told you, I mentioned it when we're interviewing another ghost hunter, Rob Davies. The colour was like an orange sepia, and he's seen something also, and that was a very similar color, orange sepia. It seems like this is an ongoing color for this kind of thing, for seeing apparitions and ghosts and whatnot.
No, they didn't really have any color. It was just, they were very gray, and like if you drain someone of their blood,
yeah,
they were just gray tone. And it struck me as being rather odd. And what happened next was when it got kind of like, it dawned on me. What the? So as I moved forwards towards the first ladyboy, the ladyboy next to her took a side step. And then the ladyboy that I was closest to took a side step also. Next, the ladyboy in all black and long hair and ponytail stepped backwards right into the wall and just disappeared.
Wow.
And then the other ladyboy with a white blouse, she did exactly the same, followed suit right behind her. I'm then like gobsmacked at what I'm seeing, and I'm like, what? I thought these were actual real people. They were that solid in terms of their appearance. Like, they had three dimension. And I was as close, if not closer, to them as I am to you now. I was literally right in their faces.
Do you feel you could touch them or not?
I didn't want to touch them. There wasn't a desire to reach out and grab them. I just wanted them out of my room. And the way I saw it was that they were invading my room. They were in it, silent, really rather like, I was never frightened at any point, not one iota, like that, or felt that they were going to do me harm. Even as just individuals in my room. I mean, that's pretty freaky to wake up with people in your room. And so the second ladyboy disappeared into the wall, and I looked at the lady behind the fan, and she just vanished, just gone. And I'm still in a daze, and I turn around in the room, and I face the chair. Yeah. Which is at like
7 o'clock?
No, the chair's at about 3 o'clock, right. 4 o'clock. Yeah, more like 4 o'clock in the room, and she's sitting in the chair. The girl that's just been behind the fan is now moved and is sat in the chair.
Wow.
And at this point, I actually walked over to her and lunged towards her, trying to grab her with both arms, and she just vanished. And I was like, what's just happened? I collected my thoughts and I remember leaving the room and I remember walking down the stairs and I turned back to the room and I saw two African guys coming down from above the level above down the stairs behind me. I headed down the stairs and out into the street as it backed onto basically it was a restaurant. And then there was the entrance, but there was no foyer like I mentioned earlier. And there were people sitting around eating, mainly Thais, because it was somewhere that Thais would stay because it was so dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wasn't freaked out and I wasn't like scared. I was just like bewildered by the whole experience. Like, did this just happen?
Yeah.
Or am I dreaming this?
So how long do you think this went on for? Are we talking 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
I would all in all, I would say it all happened pretty quickly, within at least a four minute or 3 minute sort of time scale. And when I got downstairs, I explained what I'd seen to the Thai people who were around at the time. And they were like, oh, yeah, just ghosts.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, they didn't even bat an eyelid. They were just, oh, yeah, just like they happen every day. Oh. And they see them all the time. And I was like, what? I then left that area and decided to head towards Khao San Road to get some breakfast. Because I didn't want Thai food, which was mainly what they were serving outside the guest house that's seen these ghosts in or apparitions. And I found a place and I sat down and I was just like still. Like, you know when you go and see a movie and it's really good, you leave the cinema and you go home.
Still in your head.
You go home and it's still in your head. And you don't know how you got home, and the next thing you know, you're cooking your dinner and you're like, how did I get here? I was like that. And for hours afterwards. And I remember, I wanted to tell someone immediately, you know, not just Thai people, but like some Westerners, what I'd just seen. So I suppose started speaking to these guys in the restaurant and they were like, oh, shut up, mate. You're on something, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I was not on a thing. I hadn't taken any drugs. I hadn't smoked anything that I shouldn't have. I didn't have any alcohol in my system by that point. And when we did have alcohol, I didn't drink a lot of it. And it was just bizarre. And I mean, this is 21 years ago. And it's still stayed with me, this experience. And I can still see it really, really, really vividly. I mean, I remember exactly what they looked like and what they were wearing, the colour of their skin tone, the way they had their hair cut. It was really so real. Not like, oh, it's a floaty thing with no sort of shape or form to it. I could see the details in their face and their hands and, you know, their eyes.
Well, it seems a bit strange that from your description, it seems that they're kind of stuck in this time capsule of something that came to a, you know, like an what's the word I'm looking for? They've kind of came to an ill fate.
Okay.
Of like, you know, when you hear people passing away suddenly, and then people see apparitions of them wearing the same clothes. So it's like, again, Rob Davies, he's seen an RAF guy because he apparently went down. It was somewhere up in Northumberland. An RAF guy went down to that exact same spot and unfortunately died in the plane. And then his apparition's there again in the RAF.
So he's like, he's stuck on,
he's repeating,
it's Groundhog Day, kind of like repeating.
Yeah, and it sounds very similar that these people of the night that were in your room, ladies of the night, whatever you want to call.
Oh, yeah, I mean, not only were they apparitions, but they were definitely prostitutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it seems quite unfortunate that they may have came to a...
It's funny you should say that, because I then like asked about death scenarios in Thai culture, mm-hmm. and they believe in Asian culture in general, and they believe that when you die, there's an either a 2 week or 30-day period where the person doesn't realize that they're dead, and still goes about what they would normally go about doing on a daily basis, mm-hmm. but they no longer have a body. Mm-hmm. So they're not aware that they've died. Mm-hmm. So they and it isn't until later on that they then, oh, okay, I'm dead now, right, okay, I'll move on, mm-hmm. and go to a different realm, or a fourth dimension or a fifth dimension. So yeah, it's quite... In Asian culture, ghosts are quite revered, but not in a positive light. There's lots of ghost stories. I mean, there's comics on ghosts. There's lots of movies on ghosts. Like you mentioned, the Japanese film, The Ring.
The Ring, yeah.
But in Thailand, they're really quite frightened of them. And I was not frightened in the slightest, which I thought, you know, you think you're going to see a ghost,
yeah.
you think you're going to be scared. I was not scared whatsoever. I didn't feel threatened whatsoever.
Yeah, another thing that, I mean, how we're chatting, it kind of reminds me of a documentary I watched on BBC iPlayer about voguing, maybe set around mid-80s New York, and it's a lot of people who were voguing started the trend of like ballroom voguing, and a lot of people who do it are prostitutes or people of the night, and it's just unfortunate that if you watch this documentary through, it's really cutting edge, it's really dark as well. Unfortunately, you see it towards the end, it actually explains that some of the women, some of the prostitutes and pimps in the documentary had suddenly passed away, and some of them haven't been found.
Well, and creepy.
Yeah, and it's just, it really reminds me of what you're talking about, these prostitutes in Thailand, Bangkok, that have just basically disappeared, and they're popping up all over the place as apparitions and whatnot. Do you think that could be?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I think that there are, like I said earlier, there are ghosts are quite like the thing in Southeast Asia, and there's obviously going to be a lot of prostitutes and ladies of the night and lady boys and pimps and deaths, and you know, they're bound to be around. So yeah, it doesn't strike me as at all odd that you would equate it to the program you're mentioning.
Yeah. So did anything else happen from that night, or did you see them again, or did anyone say, oh yeah, I've seen them before, or did anything happen again?
No, that was the end of the whole experience, unfortunately, and I was absolutely desperate to see some more.
Yeah.
I was like, and when you want them to come, that's when they don't come.
Yeah.
I was really gagging to see some more spirits, and it didn't happen.
Gagging. Yeah.
And it didn't happen for another 7 years.
Yeah, so we're going to fast forward to Phnom Penh.
Yeah, Phnom Penh.
So you were staying, 7 years later, you were staying at a place in Phnom Penh. And then did a very similar thing happen again?
Well, so, yeah, I'm in the capital of Cambodia, Phnom Penh. And I've been there already a couple of times before, so I'm quite familiar with the area and the place. And I'm staying in also a very, very common backpacker area. It was called Lakeside. and I'd managed to get quite a nice, rather than an apartment or a room in a hotel or guest house, I got really quite a nice bungalow. It wasn't massive. It had quite a big double bed in it, and a toilet and a shower, and that was pretty much it. And it was in the middle of the night. You know when you feel like somebody's watching you, and it's kind of, it just wakes you up. It start and you upstart, kind of like, what's going on, sort of thing. Middle of the night, exact thing happened, and I turned to my right, and there were these weren't people with details. They were colour as well, which I didn't expect. They were beings or apparitions of something else, not human form.
Like almost like shapes, maybe.
This is it. They were shapes.
Yeah.
They were the silhouettes of figures, right? And the first one was really quite tall, and colour was it was green in colour, like almost like as vibrant, bright as the green that you get on traffic lights, that kind of green, really quite bright green. And it was just sort of just the outline silhouette of the figure. Yeah, there was no hands and no real head. It was just an outline shape. And next to it was another one. And this one was much smaller and was red in colour. And then the third one, which was smaller still, was amber in colour. And it was almost like the green figure was maybe a teenager, and the other two were smaller children. The teenager was like showing around.
Alright.
And they were just observing me, watching me. When I say looking, watching me, it's a bit difficult because they haven't got eyes, right? But their mannerisms of the movement of whatever the shape was, it was concentrating on me. And it's funny because I sensed that I knew what they wanted. So I actually spoke to them this time. Like the last time, but that was more like get out.
Yeah.
this time I knew that they weren't of this world or this realm, but I sensed that what they wanted was love and a hug. It was really bizarre, just that feeling I was getting from these apparitions. And yeah, you couldn't tell what ages they were, but that's the feeling I got, that they were a teenager with two young children. One maybe of about 4 or 5, and the other one maybe like 8 or 9. And the teenager was probably sort of 16 or 17, but was really tall. And I then said to them, look, I know what you want. I can't give you that because you're not physical. I can't wrap my arms around you. And after that, I said, look, I've got to go to sleep. It's like maybe about 2-3 in the morning. So I said, right, I'm going back to sleep now. So I lay back down in my bed and I closed my eyes. And I sort of counted and I opened my eyes again, just like to glance to see if they were still there. And they were still there. So I closed my eyes again, and then I could sense that they'd gone. And I opened my eyes again, and they had gone. They were no longer there. And it was, it just happened so sort of quickly that I didn't, because of the experience I'd had before, I wasn't frightened in the slightest, and I found it really intriguing, and I wanted it to happen again. And when it did happen again, I wasn't startled in the slightest.
Yeah, so there wasn't this sense of foreboding for like evil. There wasn't any of that.
None of it.
It was like almost like a peaceful.
Yeah, absolutely, really peaceful. Both occasions. Yeah, I'd actually revel in the idea of seeing them again. It doesn't make me fearful at all. And I'd love to have that experience at least a few more times in my lifetime, because it was fascinating and really interesting.
I've just thought there, the first experience you talked to us about in Thailand, Bangkok, in Khao San Road, I'm just thinking, were the people that came into the room, do you think maybe they were trying to tell you something? Because I have heard this in the past where when people have came to strange fates, they maybe come back, they're trying to explain to someone where they were or what happened. Do you think it's not out of the realms of possibility that they came back trying to, maybe something happened in that room and
maybe warn me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's possible, because after that experience, not that I was frightened, but I decided to change guest houses because it was just too squalid. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to move to somewhere better, and I didn't mind paying like a little bit extra. So maybe it's subconsciously it went in that I should move, and then I did move, you know, because something may have happened and they didn't want that to happen to me. Maybe that, yeah, they were trying to warn me.
It's interesting nonetheless, and I hope the people that you're seeing have found peace, you know.
Yeah,
I know that sounds a bit corny, but if you're there experiencing, have experienced it like John, you'd probably want to, you know, you'd want them souls to kind of find peace and not like wandering around, and you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do know what you're trying to say. Kind of like stuck in limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between there and here, and not knowing where they belong. Or, yeah, that wouldn't be nice. If there is another realm, there must be. After experiencing these things, it doesn't make me think, oh, God exists or heaven or hell exists, but it definitely makes me think that there are other dimensions and there are other beings, and beings of light even, you know. I mean, the characters that I saw that were children, yeah, they were just basically light, but in a sort of physical form shape. Mm. So, yeah, I would hope that they would find peace and move on, rather than clinging to what they knew or whilst they were here as a human being.